Radio.
G'day everyone, and thanks for tuning into The Journey. Hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are right around the country. We've hit mid-June and winter is upon us, so I hope you're keeping nice and warm wherever you are right around the country. Mind you, some of our listeners around the country don't have to worry about keeping warm. They just put on a thicker T-shirt, I think. Some of our listeners from up north. And a big g'day to all our listeners, whether you're from the north or the south or even over there in WA. We've got a great show lined up for you today, so I hope you're ready for it.
Oh, love it, Jude. Thicker T-shirt. Yeah, wherever you are listening in your car, you might be cruising around via live streaming, or if you're tuning in via podcast, it's great to have you listening to this week's show. Now, Jude, I know we've got people tuning in from all over the country. That's AFL right. Territory, yeah. Go the Swans. Yeah. NRL territory, go the Mighty Roosters.
Settle down.
You definitely know where my allegiances are.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
And my allegiances in Game 2 of the State of Origin, go the Mighty Blues. That's coming up next Wednesday. What a great game, that first one. Game 2 is going to be an absolute beauty. So I reckon we're in for a great spectacle indeed. Anyway, how's your week been, Jude?
Yeah, really good, mate, and I agree with you. I can't wait for State of Origin. I think people right around the country are really keen to see if the Blues can actually have a win. Well, not everyone. There's lots of people are Guinness, that's for sure. I think most of our listeners, whether they be from down in Victoria or some of our listeners over in WA, and certainly those who listen in from up in Queensland, they'll all be shouting the Blues down, but as you and I are hoping, we're hoping Wednesday is finally a different result after years and years of misery.
Well, I'm really confident, Jude. Tell us about the show in detail this week, mate.
Well, we've got a great show lined up this week. We've got some fantastic inputs from Sister Hilda, of course. Trish McCarthy's going to be back on the show. We're going to hear from Sam Clear. We've also got a really good input this week again from Dr. Byron and Francine Parola, just with great tips for marriage and living well.
Looking forward to it. It is indeed going to be a great show. So let's get into it. Faith, hope, love and life. You're on the journey.
Here's this week's Reflection on the Gospel.
This week we celebrate Trinity Sunday, the Holy Trinity, three persons in one God. Really, it's too much for our minds to handle. The greatest theologians and philosophers in history have had to acknowledge their inadequacy in the face of such an awesome mystery. And maybe that's the point. God isn't some thing to be dissected and understood. God is some one to be worshipped and adored. In the first reading today, Moses points us to this. God gave him a glimpse of his glory, and it moved Moses to bow to the ground and worship. God proclaimed his name and revealed his nature: merciful, gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. It was just one little glimpse of divine mercy and kindness. Moses saw only God's back, but it was enough to bring Moses to his knees in humble adoration. As we celebrate Trinity Sunday, try to sense God's presence in these ways. Contemplate his love, his mercy, and his glory. And as you're contemplating them, look for the Spirit to give you more insight, deeper healing, and more love. Then, like Moses, bow down before God in worship. Thank him for his faithfulness. Praise him for being slow to anger. Honor him for his kindness. Truly we serve an awesome, merciful God. Let our prayer today be, Lord, you are far beyond my understanding. Expand my capacity to know you as I worship you today. Father, Son, and Spirit.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
You're listening to The Journey with Dave and Dodsey from the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong on cradio.org.au.
Here's Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
There used to be a wonderful cassette tape on the late 1980s. It was called Symphony of Australian Birds. Maybe you've heard it too. Somehow the technicians managed to get this wonderful music to fit the various Australian bird calls onto it. Let me tip you off. The very best part of this cassette tape was the very last bit, where it was a huge chorus of Australian birds. Truly, it'd bring tears to your eyes. I've been thinking lately that prayers like that, there's such beautiful music playing in all our hearts, and we give out a cry for help, an odd word, a glance in the direction of God, a silence, whatever. And yet so often, you and I lament our prayer. It's not satisfactory, we say. It's not good enough, we mistakenly think. We forget that our part in this symphony needs to be truly our part, as we really are at any given time. And you and I, we're so different at every minute of the day, aren't we? We don't need to pray like anybody else. And the very part that is ours, we must remember, is accompanied by the music of God, the prayer of God already playing in our hearts, blending and measuring itself to us. Don't you wish you were God? Wouldn't you love to listen to it? Perhaps one day we will.
You're listening to The Journey. We just heard from the lovely Sister Hilda Scott with her wisdom from the Abbey. It's always great to hear from Sister Hilda. I've been lucky enough to meet her personally. And this week it was all about God's symphony.
Yeah, she's really popular. Got a big following with her wisdom from the Abbey all around Australia. And Trish is going to have a segment that's going to give us some really practical advice for healthy, happy gospel living. And this week she's going to remind us that our loving God wants to be known by us and for us to recognise that in our daily walk with God.
Sounds awesome. Looking forward to it. Faith, hope, love and life. You're tuned to The Journey.
And now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
Our God is a creative God and uses many ways to get our attention. Our God is a God that wants to be known and loved. John Powell, author and priest, says there are five ways through which God can enter and touch our lives. These include, but may not be limited to, 1, our emotions. Being aware of our emotions and movements throughout the day can help us identify where God is moving in our hearts and lives. Take time to reflect on your emotions at the end of each day. What gave you life? What disturbed you? 2 is our imagination. When we combine our intuition with creative expression, it gives birth to new life and engages sacred imagination. 3, our memory. When we remember aspects of our life, for example, where God has worked, or where we have been loved or experienced powerful, transformative circumstances, or something continues to come to mind, God may wish to bring something to our attention. 4, our senses. God is a sensual God. God has given us the gifts of smell, sight, taste, touch, and sound to experience all of life and encounter Him. Draw us closer through these gifts. And 5 is our will. When we take time to discover the deepest desires of our hearts, we often find that they are too what God desires for us. God wants the best for us, and when we align our hearts and mind with God's, we see a beautiful plan unfold and freedom experience to live life to the full, absent from many fears that hold us back. Take some time to be aware of and play with these today, and listen to God's loving guidance through these gifts.
Together on the journey, faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
Welcome back to The Journey. I hope you're enjoying the show today, wherever you are, right around the country, either live through your local Christian radio, online or podcast.
Jude, it probably goes without saying, lots of things going on right around the world at the moment. There's Christians coming under attack for living their faith.
Yeah,
scary times. You've got to think how lucky we are here in Australia. You look around the world, Syria, Africa, lots of places in the Middle East, it can be tough being Christian, Jude.
Yeah, and you know what, Dave? You can get a little bit blasé about it when you see all this footage and things going on overseas, and you get a bit desensitised to all this sort of stuff, but there are literally millions of people around the world who are really copying it for witnessing to their faith in Jesus, and it doesn't matter what denomination you're in, Christians right around the world are increasingly facing a lot of opposition, and sometimes for standing up to their faith, they're paying with their lives, mate. You know, I met some of the wonderful people from Open Doors, that organisation that looks out for where this is happening right around the world, and they've got this world watch list that identifies all of these areas around the world where we need to support Christians,
where we need to pray for Christians and really make sure that the world knows the sort of stuff that's going on.
Yeah, Jude, we can get blasé and complacent. Mm. And I was reminded of that recently when I was lucky enough to hear Father Emmanuel speak from Rwanda, talking about the genocide that went on 20-odd years ago. And it really brings it home and we realise how lucky we are here in Australia.
Yeah, I know he's doing a tour right around Australia at the moment. So keep your eye out for that wherever you are right around Australia. He's travelling right around the country to remind us of that and remind us of the need to pray for each other right around the world.
It was also an amazing story of reconciliation and love as well, Jude.
Absolutely. Anyway, mate, we better get on with the show. Let's all remember to pray for Christians, particularly those who are persecuted right around the world.
Here are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
One of the most amazing things about love is that it demands a response. Imagine a young man who runs up to a beautiful young woman, falls on his knees in front of her and presents her with a dozen roses. He doesn't need to say anything. It is clear from this symbol that he is professing his love for her. Unless, of course, he starts pointing to the price tag, in which case he's probably trying to sell them to her. But if we assume for this moment that this is a statement of love, the girl is now placed in a very awkward position. She must make a response. And in fact, any movement she makes at this point will be interpreted as being her response. Sadly, in the case of the lovesick young man, anything short of a yes will probably be taken as a rejection. So the young girl needs to think very carefully about what she says at this moment. This becomes a decisive moment which cannot be put off for a more convenient time. This is always the case with love. Love always demands a response from us. This is something we need to reflect on in our relationship with God. We know that the cross is God's statement of love for us. But do you ever stop to think that perhaps Jesus is looking for you to give an answer? As though he is saying, "This is how much I love you, how much I will give for you. Will you love me back? Will you make a response, or will you just leave him hanging?" I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
You're listening to The Journey on cradio.org.au.
Walking the Walk, here's Sam Clear.
Hi, I'm Sam Clear for Walking the Walk. Around 8,000 kilometres into the walk around the world for unity, I stopped into a packed church in the United States. Christians from multiple denominations had come together to listen to a Catholic bishop, and whilst his talk was received well, it was an answer he gave during Q&A that I remember most fondly. To answer a particular question, he read out John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. This is where Jesus, the risen Christ, appears to the disciples on the shore of Lake Galilee, and he asks Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" The bishop pointed out that the Bible wasn't written in English and that much is often lost in translation. There are a number of words that describe what in English we call love. The two we need to know for this translation are philios, that is, to love someone as a brother, and agape, pure self-sacrificing love. The bishop picked his Bible back up and read again. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I philios you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I philios you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you philios me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you philios me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I philios you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." You could have heard a pin drop in that room. A voice in the crowd murmured, "Jesus came down to Peter's level." And I have no doubt that he does that for us every day, calling us to follow, but understanding our weakness in responding fully to that call. He is indeed a gentle and loving God. I'm Sam Clear for Walking the Walk. For more on the walk around the world for unity, go to walkforone.com.
Faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
Great to hear Sam Clear in that little segment as well, Walking the Walk. Some reflections on the Camino Way that he called Camino Toffs, which isn't very nice, Sam, but I guess if you've walked around the world, you can refer to people who only walk the Camino as Toffs. But anyway, a great message that he had for us in that little section there too.
Yeah, Jude, it's great to have Sam on the show. His website, walkforone.com, four being just the number, walkforone.com. It's a great place to go if you're passionate about unity for Christian churches. Now, also in there was Father Dave Callahan with his segment, The Call, drawing us into true daily discipleship. This week, reminding that God's love demands a response from all of us.
Now, Dave, we've spoken on the show before about PALMS, which is a fantastic organisation that gives people the opportunity to go and do some volunteer work in places right around the world. Wherever you are around Australia, if you'd be interested in doing some work in Kiribati or in East Timor, I'd really like to encourage you to contact PALMS on www.palms.org.au or give them a call on 02951899551. There are limited places remaining for these trips to Kiribati and to Timor-Leste, but there are a few spots left for the right people, and it'd be a fantastic opportunity of a lifetime, really, for people to get over there and be involved in some fantastic volunteer work in those two amazing places and amazing communities.
You're listening to The Journey with Dave and Dodsey from the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong on cradio.org.au.
With advice on peaceful parenting, here's Marilyn Rodriguez.
Hello, I'm Marilyn, and I'm talking about becoming a more peaceful parent. Last night when I went to have my shower, I found that only one child had left her day's clothing on the floor, which was actually a welcome sight. Since until recently I've been greeted by a large heap of clothing and towels, toothpaste tubes, toys and random kitchen utensils on the floor. I expect that all the children, except for the 1-year-old, will pick up their own clothes and take them to either the bedroom or the laundry for washing. I made this clear to the kids and they're beginning to meet that expectation more often than not. All parents have expectations of the children. Setting clear expectations is important for developing children's motivation and life skills and fosters their self-esteem. But these expectations must be realistic. For example, I can ask any of the eldest 3 of my 5 children to set the table for dinner, but I can only expect my eldest 2 to stack the dishwasher without help. If our expectations are unrealistic, it only sets us and our children up for a whole lot of disappointment and frustration. Often we're hardest on ourselves, holding ourselves to impossible standards. I sometimes get frustrated because I haven't yet written the children's book that's been in my mind for months. 5 young children? When exactly am I going to have the time for that? If our expectations of ourselves are too rigid, we can get a sense that we're constantly failing to be the kind of parent we wish to be. This leads to discouragement and maybe even overcompensating in our parenting by giving our children more material things because we feel deep down that our love and time is not enough. I believe it's better to set realistic expectations for ourselves as individuals and parents as well, and be patient with ourselves when we fail, just as we would be with our children. Our children are very perceptive and they will learn how to set and achieve goals in a healthy way by watching how we do this for ourselves. This is Marilyn Rodriguez, and if you'd like to hear more about my efforts to become a more peaceful parent, you can visit my website, which is marilynrodriguez.com.
Together on the journey, faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
Welcome back to The Journey. Well, Jude, that brings us to the end of another week.
Thanks for listening into The Journey. Hope everyone's rugged up around the country. I encourage you to give us some feedback on our Facebook page. Just look for The Journey Catholic Radio in your search engine, where you can also follow links to listen to past shows of The Journey as podcasts. And if the show isn't being played on your local Christian radio station yet, and you're listening in via podcast or live streaming, give them a call. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you and get some input from you about why you'd like to have The Journey playing in your local region on your local Christian radio station. If not, just keep on listening via the Pulse 94.1 podcast of the show. It's being promoted all around the country and it's becoming really popular. So thanks for getting behind us.
Yeah, good advice, Jude. Next week on the show, we'll be doing it all again, as usual. Great music, interviews, and inputs from our awesome presenters. Now, I can't let the show finish without mentioning it. Go the mighty Blues in this week's State of Origin. Blue you. Through and through, Jude.
I am with you.
8 years, I think, mate. We're going to end the Origin drought.
I know a few Northerners and people over in WA. They may not be cheering for us, but Dave, it's definitely time. Come on, the Blues.
Secretly, they want us to win. Well, thanks for joining us this week. Faith, hope, love and life. You've been listening to The Journey.
The Journey is produced by the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong in cooperation with Pulse 94.1 and edited by Jude Hennessy and Daniel Hopper from the Office of the Bishop.
Radio.org.au